Morning code, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs.
Welcome back to Dispatches from the Edge. I'm Fry.
I'm Bob. And today we are talking about a paper that closes a gap that has been open since Shannon.
That is a sentence I do not say lightly. Shannon defined the theoretical floor for lossy compression in 1948. For nearly 80 years, every practical vector quantization method has left a significant gap between what it achieves and what theory says is possible. This paper closes that gap to within a constant factor of 2.7.
The paper is TurboQuant. Authors: Amir Zendia from Google Research, Majid Dalleri from New York University, Majid Haidian from Google DeepMind, and Vahab Mirakni from Google Research, posted to ARXIV in late April 2025.
And it matters immediately for two of the most expensive operations in modern AI, compressing the key value cache in large language models and running nearest neighbor search in vector databases. Both of these reduce to the same underlying problem. How do you compress a high-dimensional floating-point vector into a small number of bits without destroying the geometric information you need?
The answer, for 8 decades, has been not very well. Either you compress fast, but lose too much. Or you compress well, but need expensive pre-processing and can't do it online. TurboQuant breaks that trade-off.
Chapter 1. The Old Assumption. Vector quantization has a simple goal. You have a vector of, say, 4,000 floating point numbers. Each number takes 32 bits. You want to represent the same vector using 3 bits per coordinate instead of 32. When you reconstruct the vector from those 3 bits, how wrong are you?
The distortion. That's the metric. Mean squared error for pure reconstruction quality. Inner product error for attention and search operations. Where what matters is whether the dot product between two vectors is preserved.
The theoretical floor was established by Shannon for b bits per coordinate. You cannot do better than 1 divided by 4 to the b in mean squared error distortion. Every bit you add cuts the error by a factor of 4. That's the information theoretic limit.
And for 7 decades, the best practical methods were nowhere near it. They either required offline training, building a codebook from your specific dataset using something like k-means, which takes time and can't run on data you haven't seen yet, or they were fast and online, but with distortion bounds that were exponentially worse.
The exponential gap is the problem. A suboptimal online method might achieve distortion that decays as 1 divided by 2 to the b instead of 4 to the b at 2 bits per coordinate. That's a factor of 4 worse. At 4 bits per coordinate, that's a factor of 16 worse. At 8 bits per coordinate, you're off by a factor of 256.
Every additional bit you add in an attempt to close that gap doubles your memory usage. You end up needing twice as much memory to get the same quality as a method that actually hits the theoretical limit.
This matters enormously for the key value cache. For a long context language model, the KV cache is the dominant memory consumer. A 128,000 token context with a large model might generate hundreds of gigabytes of KV cache during inference. The difference between 3 bits per channel and 6 bits per channel is the difference between fitting on 1 GPU or requiring 4.
And offline methods are useless for KV cache compression. The cache vectors are generated 1 token at a time, in real time, during inference. You cannot stop the generation process. Collect all your vectors, run k-means for 5 minutes, and then proceed. It has to be online and instant.
Chapter 2, The Rotation Trick. TurboQuant's key insight starts with a question. Why do naive scalar quantizers perform so badly on arbitrary vectors?
Because the coordinates are not nicely distributed. If you have a vector where most of the energy is concentrated in a few coordinates and the rest are near zero, a uniform scalar quantizer spends most of its bits encoding near zero noise and runs out of precision on the large coordinates.
The standard response is to adapt the quantizer to the data, learn a codebook, figure out where the energy actually is. This is what offline methods do, but it requires seeing the data first.
TurboQuant's response is different. Instead of adapting the quantizer to the data, randomize the data so that any quantizer works.
Specifically, multiply the input vector by a random rotation matrix before quantizing. A rotation preserves the vector's length and all its inner products with other vectors. It destroys nothing geometrically, but it completely scrambles the coordinate structure.
After a random rotation, the energy is spread uniformly across all coordinates. No single coordinate carries disproportionate information. And there is a precise mathematical statement of this. If you take a unit norm vector and rotate it randomly, each coordinate independently follows a distribution called beta of d halves, d halves minus 1 half.
For large dimension d, that beta distribution converges to a Gaussian with mean 0 and variance 1 over d. And here's the key property. Any two distinct coordinates after rotation are nearly independent, not just uncorrelated, which would be the weak statement. But asymptotically independent in the information-theoretic sense.
Near independence is what justifies applying separate scalar quantizers to each coordinate independently. If the coordinates were correlated, you'd need joint codebooks across groups of coordinates, which is exactly what product quantization does, at great expense. Near independence collapses that requirement.
So the algorithm structure for the mean squared error version is three steps. Step one, apply a random rotation. Step two, for each coordinate, apply the optimal scalar quantizer for a beta distributed random variable. Step three, to decode, apply the inverse scalar quantizer to each coordinate, then apply the inverse rotation.
The optimal scalar quantizer for a beta distribution is computed once using the Lloyd-Max algorithm, which solves a one-dimensional k-means problem analytically. The researchers pre-compute codebooks for bit widths from 1 to 8. At inference time, there is no optimization. Just a lookup.
The result is that TurboQuant's mean squared error distortion is within a factor of square root of 3 times pi over 2, approximately 2.7, of the Shannon lower bound. At low bit widths, this constant shrinks further. At 1 bit per coordinate, TurboQuant is only 1.45 times the theoretical minimum.
For context, the gap TurboQuant closes is not the gap between TurboQuant and some prior method. It is the gap between TurboQuant and the physical limit of what any quantizer can achieve. Previous online methods were not within any constant factor of that limit. They were exponentially far.
Chapter 3, The Inner Product Problem. Mean squared error optimal quantization is not the end of the story. For attention in transformers and for nearest neighbor search, what you actually care about is preserving inner products. Dot products between vectors, and it turns out that optimizing for mean squared error and optimizing for inner product preservation are not the same problem.
The specific issue is bias. An MSE optimal quantizer is unbiased for reconstruction. The expected value of the dequantized vector equals the original vector. But when you compute the inner product between a query vector and a quantized database vector, the expected value of that inner product is not the same as the true inner product.
The quantizer introduces systematic error in a particular direction. That bias accumulates. In a nearest neighbor search over millions of vectors, biased inner product estimates mean you retrieve the wrong neighbors. In attention, biased attention logits degrade model quality in ways that compound over long contexts.
TurboQuant solves this with a two-stage approach. Stage 1, apply the MSE optimal quantizer from before, but using 1 bit fewer than your total budget. No, if you have 3 bits per coordinate to spend, use 2 bits for the MSE stage.
Stage 2, compute the residual, the difference between the original vector and its reconstruction from stage 1, apply a 1-bit quantizer to the residual using the quantized Johnson-Lindenstrauss transform, or QJL, which was developed in prior work by some of the same authors.
QJL is a 1-bit sketching method based on random projections. Its key property is that it produces an unbiased estimator of inner products. The residual after stage 1 is small because the MSE quantizer has already removed most of the error. Applying QJL to a small residual costs only 1 bit, but substantially corrects the bias.
The combined quantizer is unbiased. The expected inner product of the query with the dequantized vector equals the true inner product, and achieves inner product error within a factor of square root of 3 times pi squared over the dimension d times 4 to the b, that scales with the dimension in the denominator, meaning larger embedding dimensions get proportionally more accurate inner product estimates.
The lower bound proof uses Shannon's lower bound composed with Yao's minimax principle. They construct explicit worst-case input vectors and show that no randomized quantizer, regardless of how it is designed, can beat distortion 1 over 4 to the bi for MSE, or the analogous expression for inner products. TurboQuant is within a constant factor of those hard limits.
The lower bound proof is, frankly, the most satisfying part of the paper. It is not just an empirical observation that TurboQuant works well, it is a proof that TurboQuant works within a small constant of the best that is theoretically achievable by any algorithm on any input. Chapter 4. KV cache results. The researchers test TurboQuant on 2 practical workloads. The first is KV cache compression for large language models. They use Llama 3.1 with an 8 billion parameter model and evaluate on long context benchmarks.
The needle in a haystack test. You insert a specific fact somewhere in a 100,000 token context and ask the model to retrieve it. If the KV cache quantization corrupts the attention computations enough, the model can't find the needle. This is the stress test for KV cache quantization.
With the inner product optimized TurboQuant at 3.5 bits per channel, they achieve perfect retrieval across all tested needle depths and context lengths. The model behaves identically to the unquantized baseline, zero degradation at nearly 90% memory reduction.
At 2.5 bits per channel. Further below the float 16 baseline by another 28%. They observe marginal degradation, still functional, still retrieves the needle in most positions, but not perfect.
They also run Longbench, a suite of end-to-end generation tasks requiring long context understanding, question answering, document summarization, code generation, and multi-document reasoning. At 3.5 bits, TurboQuant matches float 16 quality on all tasks. At 2.5 bits, there is a small measurable gap.
For comparison, the prior art in online KV cache quantization requires 4 to 8 bits to achieve similar quality. TurboQuant reaches the same quality at 3.5 bits. That is a reduction in KV cache memory of between 12 and 56% relative to prior methods, while being as fast or faster to compute.
The computational profile matters. TurboQuant is online. It quantizes each key value vector as it is generated, one at a time with no pre-processing. The quantization step is a random rotation, a matrix multiply, followed by a lookup table application per coordinate. Both operations are fully vectorized and GPU friendly. The latency overhead is negligible. Chapter 5, Nearest Neighbor Search. The second application is nearest neighbor search, the core operation in every vector database. You have a large collection of embedding vectors. A query arrives. You want to find the vectors in the collection with the highest cosine similarity or inner product to the query. Do this at low latency across hundreds of millions of vectors.
Memory is the binding constraint. Storing 100 million float 16 vectors at, say, 1,000 dimensions each requires 200 gigabytes. At 3 bits per dimension, you reduce that to 19 gigabytes. The entire database fits in the memory of a single GPU instead of requiring a distributed cluster.
The standard approach to memory-efficient nearest neighbor search is product quantization. Split the vector into subvectors. Cluster each subgroup independently using k-means, encode each subgroup as a cluster index. This is well studied, effective, and widely deployed.
The problem is the k-means step. Building the product quantization codebook requires seeing all the vectors, running iterations of k-means until convergence, and storing the resulting cluster centroids. Indexing time for a large corpus can take hours to days, and if your vector distribution changes, new embeddings from an updated model, shifted data distribution, you rebuild from scratch.
TurboQuant eliminates the indexing phase entirely. The random rotation is pre-computed once. The scalar quantizer codebooks for beta distributed coordinates are pre-computed once offline. Indexing a new vector requires one matrix multiply and one lookup table pass. The indexing time is effectively zero.
The researchers evaluate on standard approximate nearest neighbor benchmarks, SIFT 1 million, GIST 1 million, and DEEP 1 billion. These are established datasets with known ground truth neighbors used to measure recall at various memory budgets.
TurboQuant matches or outperforms data-dependent product quantization methods in recall across all tested datasets and memory budgets, while reducing indexing time from hours to milliseconds.
That last claim requires some unpacking. Product quantization is doing something smarter on paper. It adapts to the actual data distribution. TurboQuant ignores the data distribution entirely, and yet TurboQuant wins or ties on recall.
The reason connects back to the theory. Product quantization's codebook optimization closes the gap between naive uniform quantization and the optimal quantizer for the empirical data distribution. But the random rotation in TurboQuant achieves something equivalent without any data-specific optimization. It transforms the worst-case distribution into a well-behaved distribution and applies analytically optimal quantizers to that distribution. The theoretical guarantee is stronger, and the empirical results follow.
There's an engineering implication here that's larger than it appears. Vector databases are increasingly central infrastructure. Companies run them continuously, update them as embedding models improve, and must re-index when the model changes. With product quantization, a model update means a full re-index. With TurboQuant, the codebook is universal. It works for any embedding model, any data distribution, any time. Re-indexing is instant.
Chapter 6. What this means. The headline result is the KV cache compression. Large language model inference is currently memory bandwidth bound. The KV cache is the primary memory consumer for long context generation. The practical limit on context length for many deployments is not the model's ability to reason over long contexts. It is the memory required to store the KV cache.
TurboQuant at 3.5 bits per channel reduces KV cache memory by more than 75% relative to Float 16, while maintaining full model quality. That is not a marginal improvement. At scale, that is the difference between context lengths of 30,000 tokens and 120,000 tokens on the same hardware.
Or equivalently, the same context length at 1/4 the hardware cost for API providers running inference at scale. That is a direct reduction in cost per query.
The deeper significance is the information theoretic completeness of the result. The authors do not just show that TurboQuant works. They show that it works within a small constant of what is theoretically possible. There is no algorithm that can do dramatically better. The problem of online vector quantization is solved. Not just improved!
Shannon opened the question in 48. Zador advanced it in 63. Gershow formalized it in 84. The gap between theory and practice persisted for another 4 decades. TurboQuant closes it.
One thing I want to flag. The paper is from Google Research and Google DeepMind. TurboQuant is almost certainly deployed or being deployed in Google's inference infrastructure right now. This is not a research artifact. This is a production algorithm being written up after it worked.
Which is worth noting because the theoretical completeness of the result makes it inevitable that every serious player deploys something like this. The question is not whether to use near-optimal online quantization. It is how fast you adopt TurboQuant or an equivalent.
The code is not yet publicly linked in the paper, which is consistent with it being a production system. But the algorithm is specified completely enough to implement from the paper. Random rotation, pre-computed beta distribution codebooks, optional QJL residual step. The implementation is not complex.
This is one of those papers where the framing tells you everything about the moment we're in. The entire motivation section is about inference cost for large language models. The theoretical framework is 80 years old. The application domain is months old. Shannon's 50-year-old source coding theory. Meeting the KV cache problem. In 2025.
Dispatches from the edge.
TurboQuant, ArcSieve 2504.19874. Google Research, NYU, Google DeepMind. We'll link it in the show notes.
Thanks for listening.
This episode of DTF colon FTL was generated with artificial intelligence, script by Claude Opus 4.6, voices by Quen 3 TTS. If you found it useful, share it. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. Dispatches from the Edge.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3 TTS. That's Quen 3 TTS for us English speakers. Find daily tech feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.